Okay, thank you. Welcome to the PDP on Retirement Working Group call on the 17th of August, 2017. In the interest of time, attendance will be taken via the Adobe Room. So if you're on the audio bridge only, please let yourself be known now. Hearing no one, thank you. We do have a number of apologies also noted in the Adobe Room. As a reminder, these calls will be recorded and transcribed. I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with that, I'll turn the call back over to the chair, Nigel Roberts.
Yeah, thank you, Kim. Well, I can see we don't have anybody that's not in the bridge, but for completeness, can we do the roll call, please?
Yes, absolutely. On the call today, we have Alan McGillivray, Barack Otieno, Eberhard Lise, Jaap Akkerhoof, Marita Mol, Boyle, Nayela Sarez, Nigel Roberts, Patricio Poblete, Peter Koch, Steve Vanderhaeck, and Svetlana Tikhchenko. Back to you.
Yep, thank you. Well, thank you to everybody for coming, particularly those like me who are not used to the inconvenient hours, but we're operating on a policy of distributing the inconvenience. Moving on to item two on the agenda, update action items. Bart, I believe you would have something to say about the availability of the 3166-1 standard.
Yes, and may I also add something about the say something about the agenda, particularly item four. But I'll start with the action items. Say the availability of ISO 3166. Jaap, as you know, is member of the ISO MA and also hence indirect contact with the ISO Secretariat. He's kindly asked about the conditions, etc., for around the availability of ISO 3166 standard. And ISO agreed to make it available for this group free of charge. The only thing is they want to include some reference to the working group anyway, which would have happened if ICANN would have purchased it. If you say once it is available, people, it will be available for all members, so the full membership, liaisons and members. But please note the standard is copyright protected, so it should only be used in the context of the work of this group. And we will not say ask you to sign an NDA, etc., on behalf of ISO. We trust you will treat the copyright protection fairly. That's it around the availability of ISO 3166. Any questions around this one?
Hearing none, perhaps we move on to the next to the two updates. But before we do that, Bart, I think I'd like to suggest that we write formally to ISO and ask, I'm sorry, not, and thank them specifically for their assistance in this, because that's very helpful and very kind of them.
Okay, well, we'll do so. I will suggest some language and together with Jaap. Peter, you got your hand up. Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Bart. Clarifying question. The agenda says 3166-1 is ISO's generous offer for -1 only, or would it also include -2 and 3?
I know Jaap is on the call, but in principle it would focus on -1 only, as this working group will focus on -1 only. but say let me check and get back on that one. The most important part is say I do have a copy, and it includes say the rules used by the MA. And I think that's the core issue. Jaap, you want to respond?
Yeah, I think they're pretty happy to send to do the complete set, so do part 1, 2, and 3 of the latest version. I don't think that will be any problem. So
yeah, but then again, please use it only for your own purposes, but do not say be aware of the copyright, because this is the main source of income. For one of the main sources of income for ISO.
Yeah, maybe I should say that the important part of this is actually in the textual part. You will notice that the actual table, it will be there, but it actually is replaced by the online system. So the information in the tables is actually not up to date. I mean, the online copy gives you the complete up to date information, but it might good to have a look about. But it's especially about the text. And yes, and what I understand is that they are willing to do the whole set, and but they are on vacation at the moment. Person I talk to, so it might take a couple of weeks, so, but that's the time frame I'm thinking about.
Okay, thank you, Jaap. Unless there's something else on ISO 3166, perhaps we can now talk about the proposed face-to-face meeting, alternatively meetings. Bart, have you got anything to add on this?
Yes, but I saw Eberhard put his hand up. I assume it's regarding the availability of ISO 3166 as well.
Okay, Eberhard.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well, actually.
Okay. I bought a version of ISO, of the ISO, for my own purposes, and we will, of course, not distribute it. But I think it's a very good idea that every member should have one, and maybe we should even watermark it with the member's name, as it was suggested, so that there is no fear of breaking the copyright.
Thank you. Is that it on 3166?
Yeah, has his hand up.
Yes. Yeah, the documents are watermarked and they contain a password. And I have not been able to put a watermark on top of a mark. So I tried suggesting LK, and that's not going to work. Apparently Adobe don't let you to add yet another watermark by somebody else on the document. The whole document is protected.
Okay, thank you, Jaap. And again, just a little before we move on, actually, to the F2F, a little bit of administrivia about the calls. And the proposal is that we have booked 90 minutes for each call. And the proposal is that we try and get everything done during an hour with the half an hour that's booked as a reserve in case the discussion gets particularly interesting. What I don't want to have happen is that we do extremely well through the agenda, and then just because everybody thinks there's an extra 25 minutes to spare or an extra 35 minutes, that we expand the discussion. So I'm going to try and aim to get through the agenda items in an hour, but with the thinking that we have plenty of leeway, and that when the discussion is active, then we'll use the full 1.5 hours. Bart, on ICANN 60, please.
Thank you, Nigel. Face-to-face meeting, I can say, as we discussed, we made a reservation for the working group on Thursday afternoon. So that was a given. It will be on Thursday, I believe it will be block 3, given the, current status is that on Thursday there will be a cross-community session on the GDPR again, running during Block 2, and we made the assessment, we as staff, that some of the members would like to attend this session as well, hence we went for Block 3. That's one. The second thing is the request from, or we saw the note from Patricio and others to have a session on Sunday as well. And of course, we can arrange such a session, but to date, we've seen that the there will be a lot of conflicting other sessions on the Sunday of CCNSO working group and other group meetings. So this will definitely affect the all of the members, or if not some of the members, to attend a Sunday meeting, and it will range from tech and TLD ops meetings, including a potential TLD ops workshop on Sunday, GRC meeting, SOP working group meeting, and CSC related meetings. So I hope you can defer having two meetings from this meeting to the next ICANN meeting, ICANN 61, but of course it's up to you. That's all with respect to ICANN 60. Back to you, Nigel.
Yeah, thanks, Bart. I'm just juggling the speed to switch the mute on and off. Any questions on the proposals for conducting the F2F meeting or meetings in Abu Dhabi? Patricia, is that you've got something you want to say?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was unmuting my microphone. It seemed to me that since we all, or many of us, would have made the effort to travel there, and there for a long week, it seemed like a waste not to try to schedule two meetings instead of one, so we could move further a little quicker. But I understand what Bart is saying. When I looked at the blog agenda, it didn't seem to be as full of meetings, as full of CCNSO-related meetings as Bart says. Later, I read what Michele said, that the GNSO was going to be meeting for the full day, so we couldn't, or at least the GNSO Council, I think. So if anybody from the GNSO Council wanted to attend this meeting, it would not be possible. But if what Bart is saying is confirmed, then I would agree that this time it would be very hard to schedule that Sunday meeting.
Okay, Patricia, thanks for that intervention. Seems that the consensus is for Abu Dhabi at least we'll be going with a single meeting, but it's definitely a good idea. And perhaps if we look into this for future ICANN meetings, scheduling permitting, we might be able to have two shorter meetings rather than one very long meeting. Does anybody else want to make a comment on the face-to-face meetings? Looking at the Bart, you have your hand up.
Yes. So one of the issues, so you understand, is say GNSO and also the GAC and other communities meet on, they start their meetings already on Saturday, I believe. To date, the CCNSO has limited its meeting days as much as possible, so having a standard day, sessions on, say, the say for like the Abu Dhabi meeting on Sunday, running through to Thursday morning to make it as condensed as possible. We already have parallel sessions on with working groups on the Sunday, and including one of the more major items like the PDP will definitely probably cause that we will need to extend the meeting time. So that's a more fundamental issue, maybe to be discussed in Abu Dhabi as well, in a more broader context, whether the CCNSO should stick to the condensed meeting format or use the an extra day, as some of the other communities do. They use the full meeting time. So to date, the CCNSO, and that's probably causing that's the major issue. We have been working with the assumption and under the condition that the meeting needs to be as condensed as feasible, and then you got three consecutive days of tech day, CCNSO meetings days, which do not allow for working group meetings. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the background, Bart. We perhaps will discuss this in Abu Dhabi for possible meetings subsequent at ICANN meetings. Any further questions about ICANN 60? I think we've probably said all there is that we need to say about that. Hearing nothing. Okay. Scheduling presentation on the ISO 3166. That's, I presume we're talking about YALP's presentation here, Bart, is that right?
Yes, that is, and it's been scheduled for the Sunday. This is a, they, given the, probably because most people on this call or on the working group who were present in Johannesburg found it very useful, say was suggested to do it again. So it's been scheduled and it's part of the PDP session. I believe it's going to be on Tuesday. And especially also in the context of ongoing work on the use of country and territory names anyway. So that's linked to it. So the broader community is informed about it.
Okay, I presume there's not. That's an informational thing. There's not much to discuss on that, unless anybody has got their hand up. Nope, nobody's got their hand up. Okay, so we move on to the next major agenda item, which is agenda item 3, second reading of the rules, internal rules of engagement, which are now appearing on screen. And Eberhard has been working very hard on this. In fact, this is mostly Eberhard's work here. So, Eberhard, would you like to introduce and discuss this, which I think we've agreed to possibly call the second reading?
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you fine.
Okay. I propose that we make it 1.5 reading because there is 7 members not on the call. Unless they say on the list, okay, they agree with it, then we can carry on. Okay. I hope everybody has read it. The paragraphs are numbered throughout, so we don't have to go by section. Let me quickly go through the first paragraph. We had some discussion that we should write at least one meeting, so that gives us the option for having more than one at an ICANN meeting. I don't want to be too pedantic about it. The rules are basically there to be available in case we need them, and preferably not use them at all. So, basically, the first paragraph is fairly easy. The timing is also, we have agreed we want to start on time, we need to finish on time, or at least be, give notice in advance. Some of us work for a living. I have scheduled appointments, and if I know a week in advance that we need to have more time, then I can schedule my patients around it, and I think that this will be the same for others. And I also feel that if two people or more object, we should not extend the meeting. Any comments on the first two items so far? Okay, then
seeing
we go
nothing
to,
on the hands.
I see nothing on the thing, so we carry on. Number three is the what we do with the shifting of the calls. Peter Koch made a very sensible suggestion. We don't need to be too pedantic about this and putting the 2359 into the rules. It is a little bit confusing sometimes. 24 hours, midnight, before midnight, after midnight. So the easiest way is to schedule them for 23:59. Most of us use the Google calendar, so it will in practically not be a difference. But if somebody who is not used to our methods, i.e. Pushing the meetings 6 hours every two meetings, then there might be some confusion. So it's better we make it clear that it is on Thursday, 23:59, then everybody knows what it is. Any comments on Section 3?
No hands.
You don't hear this?
No, there are no hands raised.
I don't. Yes, there are no hands raised, so we carry on. As far as readings is concerned, I found it quite unhelpful to try to use two sessions at one ICANN meeting as two reasons in the CCWG, because if somebody can't make it to the meeting and with the remote conferencing might find it difficult to attempt for other reasons. That takes the value away of that. We said we must have two readings. We also will endeavor that everybody who is a member and participant gets remote access. If this is not feasible or not possible, then of course we can't count this meeting as a reason. We don't want anybody to be sort of overruled by formalities. We are looking at content as far as this is concerned. Any comments on 4?
Again, nobody's
raising. I see no hand. Okay. So, as far as the rules of order also, we don't really want to use any of this. So far, it worked very well. We have a good history as far as this goes, and we will. We have never needed something like this. But as several participants and members have agreed, we like to have this done beforehand so that we don't have to make it up as we go along, like this has happened in the past. We will use the Adobe Connect, generally speaking, but the chair, of course, has discretion. So if somebody needs to intervene right away so that we establish a dialogue, even if it's more than one or two to and fro's, as long as it furthers the discussion, we will always tolerate this, but in generally, it is also helpful that people think about what they say beforehand and then do it in one. We will make pay particular attention that people who are on the bridge without access get not left behind. And as I said, the other thing is clear. Normally, we would allow everybody to speak as long as they want, as often as they want on every topic. However, if this were leading to a chaos, then we would say, okay, on the next meeting, we will change our method to for a little bit more structure. So far, this has not been necessary. I don't foresee it necessary. But what I really don't like is that we, during a meeting, say at the end of the meeting, oh, we don't have time anymore, so everybody who comes on now will only have 2 minutes, like it happens in other meetings. In the 7123 are in escalating strength. We would try the lowest strength first and escalate as far as necessary, but I don't think it will even be necessary. Any comments on item 7? I don't see any hands. So we then discussed that we that the chairs will not cut off discussion. We will see to it that each item will be debated exhaustively, so that after it's fully debated, it will only go to the next item. The chair will, of course, use a bit of discretion here. We do not really want that chaos or occurs or ensures that people then, after half an hour, revisit previous agendas, items, and so that there is no structure in the debate. We also, on the other hand, if some people come in late or if some people have an important item that they forgot, the chair will have the discretion to do this. But in general, we would like to have a little bit of structure in this so that we can proceed in an orderly fashion. That's about that. Any comments to 8 and 9? I don't see a hand. The consensus, I was struggling with putting the die in the ditch option into writing. At the FOI working group, we didn't only get consensus, we got unanimous consensus. And we basically, without debating this or discussing it, we had sort of arrived at that only if somebody had something which was absolutely irreconcilable, then they would object and put a minority statement. And in the end, we managed to get it unanimous, so it would be helpful, though it's not demand, it would be helpful if everybody can be a little bit relaxed with regard to the objections and only break consensus if it's really something that he can't live without. This is, however, for every participant on their own. This is not in any way a hard and fast rule. Any comments on that? Don't see a hand. And then Bart suggested that we put some words on lines 12 and 13 in, and I, for completeness sake, put in that we, of course, these rules are made by the working group, not by the chairs. They're only administered by the chairs. So if the working group wants to amend the rules, of course, they can do it. And we would, again, need two readings to do so. Obviously, if there is any conflict with the charter is paramount. For ease of reference, I have added then the relevant extracts from the charter to the document, which I won't go through. Are there any comments on the last items or on the whole? I'm done, so I assume that Patricio raised his hand first, so I'll hand over to Nigel.
Yeah, thank you, Eberhard. I see two people in the queue, which is, of course, Patricio and Martin. I didn't see who put your hand up first, so I'm going to assume that what Eberhard said about Patricio is correct. So, Patricio, you have the floor.
Thank you. A couple of things about these readings. First, I was trying to find and unsuccessfully where exactly it is read this rule about the two readings. This thing that we need two readings for something to be a firm decision. Is it explicit or just implicit?
If I could go in, as assume this is directed towards me.
Yes,
if you move to the charter, if you move to the charter working method, the second bullet point says no decision, no firm decisions are taken during any single meeting without the substance of those decisions having been discussed and open for review consideration by those that may now have been present during the meeting. That means
that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing.
For me, that is the same thing. In practice, it means if you are right in a way that if everybody is there and everybody agrees, we can dispense with the second reading. However, in practice, it has been. Okay, let me finish. However, in practice, it has been. Worked very well that if you said let's do two readings in case somebody has second thoughts or sleeps over it and has a better idea, so he can raise it. There is no urgency in most of our things, so I also think we should do that. It's not a hard and fast rule as far as the charter is concerned, but it worked very well for us, so I thought we put it in like this. But it's for the working group to decide in the end.
I'm aware of this rule. We did have the same rule in the FOI, and it did work well. So why don't we write it down? Why, as part of our rules of engagement, don't we write down that we need two readings for any firm decision to stand? That would take the all uncertainty from it. I'm not against the rule. I'm saying that we should write it down explicitly.
Okay, I see Eberhard's unmuted his microphone. I think he wants to come back on that. I was going to wait until all the interventions had finished. I have my own comment, but it goes directly to Patricia's question, which I think I've anticipated.
Patricia,
to me, that what Eberhard has said does have it written down in the charter, but I'm going to exercise the privilege of out of order and pass it over to Eberhard before Martin, with apologies to Martin.
Yeah, and I do have a second point about the reading.
Okay, we'll come back to you.
I think we wrote it down in the rules that we make it a firm rule that no decision shall be made until it has been read twice. If it's in the rules, and at the end we said the rules are part of the become part of the charter, of being able to be overruled by the charter as written by council, we have this thing. If everybody agrees that we discuss everything twice, we don't have an issue.
Okay, so we'll go back to Patricio for his second point, and then Martin follows Patricio as per the normal order.
Yeah. My second point is that right now, while we are approving these rules, we are at the same time departing from the rules in the sense that Eberhard has proposed to create something new, something called 1.5, or like 1.5 reading, and that's because there's insufficient quorum for this to be a real second reading. Where do we say what's the minimum quorum necessary for something to count as a reading? I don't think that's explicit either.
Okay, points taken. Martin, you have something to say? You're still on mute. There you go.
Thanks, Nigel. My point's just a fairly minor one, but it occurred to me when the version on screen was circulated during the course of this afternoon, was it, or evening, that it had some changes in it compared with yesterday's version, but there was no way without reading whole documents of identifying that which has been changed. For a document like this, that's fairly trivial, but it did occur to me that as we are doing the work, it would be very helpful for all documents when they go through a revision to have the revisions clearly marked, and only then when the revisions are accepted or have been discussed once would you then take them as being accepted revisions. As I say, at the moment, with this particular document, yes, it was fairly easy to scan through and identify where text had been changed. I do not anticipate that that will be the case as we get further into the work, so revision marks would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. So I believe you're arguing strongly for red line on any document changes. I see Eberhard's hand is up, and I'm sure he's going to give us what we want to hear. Eberhard.
I agree with you. It is a short document, and it was quite exhaustively ventilated on the mailing list. And so in the end, I just incorporated the changes. But I agree, maybe we'll do that. If I do another document, I will incorporate changes that come from the mailing list onto the document. However, what I also do is, if I put a document out, I put it into revision control, which gives it, whenever I save it, a new number, so the number will be on the document, so when we know, when we publish it, we know that everybody has the same version. Yeah, I agree, this is a good suggestion, and I will try, if I do another document, to make sure that at least on the list, the things that go to the list get a redacted, a redlined version and a straight version.
Okay, and I think we are at an end of this agenda item, unless there are any further questions or anybody has an intervention about something. Hearing nothing. Thank you, Eberhard. That's very, very comprehensive and seems to have garnered a very, very high level of support, so I think it'll be very helpful. Bart, did you need to say something right now, or was that dealt with earlier?
No, I just say again for future references, I suggest that the agenda includes confirmation of the agenda, because unfortunately, I was on holidays and got back early this week, I was only able to contact Kim very early around agenda item 4, and after the agenda was published, he needed to decline this session because he's currently present at the DNSSEC KSK. So the item number 4 is deferred to the next meeting, and next time I'll suggest that we announce this right at the start of the meeting, so not so late. Kim indicated he could be present at the next meeting on the 31st of August, assuming that one will be at 0600 UTC. Because then his holiday starts.
Okay, Bart, thank you for that. So, as agenda item 4 is deferred to next meeting, we move to agenda item number 5. Bart, is there anything you need to say on this?
My suggestion is, again, that the reason for including it was to check whether, based on the, presentation from Kim and discussion around it, whether the topic list and working methods moving forward need to change and discuss. So the reason for calling it topic list, say we discussed it last time after the ISO presentation. This time there will be, say, more the PTI perspective, and again, we check whether the topic list was is complete, but defer that part. And the working method was more to start drilling down on how the working group wants to approach the different topics, should there be strawmen, et cetera, from the chairs, or another way of starting the substantive discussion rather sooner than later. But my suggestion is, again, to revisit this at the next meeting after the PTI, after Kim Davies has done the presentation on the PTI perspective on the retirement of CCTLDs, revisit the topic list, and move into the working methods going forward.
Okay, thank you, Bart. I think that deals with agenda item 5. I noticed that in the chat there's some useful discussion taking place continuing on from agenda item 4. Now, we're definitely going to do a hard stop at the top of the hour on this meeting. We're not going to use the half hour. And I'm not wanting to prolong discussion simply for the sake of it, given the fact that we have just over a quarter of an hour left on the hour. But I think, Patricio, if you have want to expand on what you've suggested in the chat, we do have plenty of time, so I'm prepared to break the rules and go and exercise the discretion that's so carefully laid out in Eberhardt's rules, and give you an opportunity to expand on that. Is that something that you'd want to do?
I think I've expressed my doubt, and I think Eberhardt does have a point that I may be a bit too formalistic about this. It's only that I... Eberhard convinced me that it was a bad idea to be making rules on the fly, so that's why it, for me it was a red light when I heard this one and a half reading thing, because it looked exactly like a rule being made on the fly.
In fact, I think the point is that it's absolutely not a rule, but an exception to the rule.
Yeah. Well, anyway, who said that? That the chair may decide to cancel a meeting if there is insufficient quorum. I think that's fine. Now, if the meeting is not canceled, then I think it should be all the rights of a meeting, so it should count as a reading. Now, again, the chair has the power to evaluate the situation and decide. If a third reading is necessary, I will not press the matter further.
You're passing the heavy weight to me on that. That's fine. Eberhardt, your hands up.
I want to have this done by consensus, preferably unanimous consensus. So I don't mind two readings or what, but if there is some people, especially from developing countries, find it difficult to dial in, then there is connectivity issues and things like this. We always have the list, but I think it's better to err on the side of caution. Generally speaking, two readings, but something here that can affect all of us, I'm perfectly willing to read it again, even though I'm the proposer. If the working group says it's done, it's accepted, it's fine with me, but I am willing to err on the side of caution here.
Thank you, Eberhardt, and I notice my own hand is up, and I don't see anybody else's hand up that I can defer to, so I will simply say that as chair, I will make you read the damn thing 3 and 4 times if I think it will help the achievement of unanimity or absolute strong consensus. So that's where I'm coming from. I think that's a strong agreement with what Eberhardt was just saying. If there's no more questions on that, I can move on to the last two or three items, which are really rather formalistic or formulaic. Bart, next meeting.
Next meeting, as I said, that will be the 31st of August at 6:06 UTC, so 6 a.m. UTC. So we're back, say, or that's the next timing on the rotational basis.
Thank you, Bart. Well, I don't suppose there'd be much in the way of questions on that, because that's part of the expected rotation, but in the event there are questions... Oh, Martin, go ahead.
Thanks, Nigel. Just for clarification, we're talking about four distinct time slots, midnight, 6, midday, 6 p.m. and then back to midnight. Is am I entirely right on that? Because
Martin,
at one stage I thought we
right, and it becomes 23:59 again when it gets back to midnight. It doesn't drop a day forward. We don't rotate through the days.
No, work that one out. No, it was just I had in my head, and I'm not sure where I got it from. That we were on three time slots a day, so at 8 hours. So I will now have to correct my diary and my calendar again. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks, Martin. Well, we do have just over 10 minutes left of our soft spot finish, which I'm definitely going to stick to tonight. I don't want to prolong the meeting for the sake of it, but does anybody have any other business? Martin, is that an old hand or a new hand?
That's obviously an old hand.
Seeing no further business, I'm happy to adjourn the meeting considerably early, and for those of you who are in the early hours of the morning, sleep well. Otherwise, everybody have a good day.